Welcome to episode 116 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joined with me on this episode is Donnie Miller. Donnie, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Finally able to get back on the football podcast, get back on any podcast, as those who follow me on social media know. I've been dealing with the fires in the North Bay. I had to evacuate my home a couple times, but everything is good. I'm safe and sound. My house is still standing, and I'm now able to get back to work. So expect some more podcasts from me and more podcasts from Friends of Fantasy Benefits, because I know we've been a little bit more sparse than we usually are. So, but today we're going to talk about some waiver wire ads. And like you mentioned before I hit the record button, this seems kind of like a sparse week for that.
Yeah, there's not many top guys, probably not anyone to use a top waiver on this week.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of the weeks where you're necessarily going to be using a ton of fab or a top-tier waiver wire slot, but there are guys that can be useful, especially in deeper formats, and then maybe some guys to stash away in case they are starting to make their way towards kind of a bigger impact. Let's start at quarterback, because quarterback is always a spot where people, especially in two QB leagues or super flex leagues, are always looking for someone. You've got three names. Matt Moore came in to replace Jay Cutler. Drew Stanton took over for Carson Palmer. Palmer done for the year, most likely. They've said 8 weeks, but that pretty much ends his season effectively at this point, because he broke his arm. And then Cody Kessler came in for the Cleveland Browns. Let's say you're playing in a two QB league, so you're gonna pick up one of these guys or attempt to pick up one of these guys. In what order would you do so?
So I would have Cody Kessler last, just because of what the Browns have been doing at quarterback. I mean, they play two or three quarterbacks a game, it seems like. And then I would have Stanton, and then Matt Moore be number one, just based off Matt Moore having the best weapons and the best system and having previous success last year. While Stanton has missing David Johnson and not having much outside of Larry Fitzgerald, that's the order I would have him in.
Yeah, I'm with you on Cody Kessler being last, because I don't know for sure if they're going to, at some point go back to Kevin Hogan, or they could potentially, put DeShone Kizer back in there. Especially in a 2QB league, I want someone who I know is going to be playing, and so therefore I just have no faith that Kessler will be the guy moving forward for the rest of the year. He may get a game, he may get a half, or he may not even start this week. So I'm not wasting any money or fab on Cody Kessler unless I'm extremely desperate. I'm gonna take Stanton above Matt Moore for the reasons I just said. So in a two quarterback league, I'm looking for someone who's gonna keep his job, and I just don't think there's any reason to believe that Stanton would lose this job at this point. Like I said before, Carson Palmer most likely done for the year at this point. Whoever they bring in to be the backup will have to get up to speed. They'll probably have to bring someone off the practice squad, because it seems like Kaepernick can't get a job anywhere no matter what the situation. But unless they bring in a guy like that, I don't think, and I just can't imagine they would. I just don't think that Stanton loses a job. So I think he's safer than Matt Moore. I think Matt Moore has probably the better team around him, and he probably will get a shot, but I don't really have any faith in that Adam Gase coach team right now in terms of being comfortable that they won't come back to Jay Cutler at some point.
How did they announce how long Cutler was out? I know he had broken ribs.
I haven't seen it, but I mean, broken ribs is one of those things that, I mean, unless they've really announced how bad they are, that could be a 2 to 4 week injury. It could be a, he could be back this week. You know, we saw Ty Montgomery not miss very much time at all. It really depends on the severity and really how much pain someone's willing to, how much pain someone's willing to play with.
Yeah.
So I don't see Cutler as a guy that necessarily wants to play through. He seems very nonchalant about everything this year.
Yeah, he seems like he's still retired.
I'm seeing 2 to 3 weeks on Twitter, but not from a reputable source.
So I would think if Matt Moore plays good a couple of these games, I think he could just take the job just because Cutler hasn't been
I think
exactly
he could
good.
Too, but I don't think Matt Moore is any good. So if Matt Moore – and they've got a really light schedule, so that may work out to Matt Moore's advantage. He could also play absolutely atrociously like we would thoroughly expect Matt Moore to play. And by the time Cutler gets back, they're just looking for him. You know, they're going, oh, man, he can't even compete against this poor level of teams. They've got Baltimore who looks like an absolute dumpster fire this week for week 8. And then Oakland, whose defense is atrocious as well right now. So
they'll torch Oakland.
And then they got Carolina, Tampa Bay, New England. I mean, it'd be nice because the rest of their schedule outside of, a matchup with Denver, whose defense is still pretty good, even though their offense can't score anything. And Buffalo coming up week 15, they've got a pretty nice schedule. Get New England twice, Tampa Bay, Oakland, Baltimore, Carolina. So, I mean, they've got a pretty nice schedule rest of the way if one of these guys can claim it. So I still would take Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? No, you're right. I'm going to go with Matt Moore because I think there's some upside there that isn't there with Stanton.
Yeah, and with Matt Moore, I mean – he'll push the ball more to Landry. So, you know, there's a chance getting Landry the ball more, bigger plays, more touchdowns, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to running back. Marshawn Lynch is going to be missing this upcoming game because he's an idiot. So you've got that's pretty much like the only opening this week, not really any real injuries to report in the running back position. But you've got Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington, both who could be Oakland back or both are Oakland backs playing this week. Deion Lewis is starting to get more of a workload in New England. Darren McFadden is a stash candidate for if and when Ezekiel Elliott, as well as Alfred Morris, for if and when Ezekiel Elliott officially gets suspended, if they come to some sort of deal or he loses his case. It appears that'll happen after week 8. Unless they come to some sort of deal beforehand, it appears he will his first game lost will be week 9, which unfortunately would put him out, week 9 through 14, which means you'd miss him in the first round of the playoffs in fantasy. So if you're playing in a three round 14 through 16 weeks. And then Marlon Mack is starting to get more and more of a workload. Which one of these guys most interests you in the short term?
Richard's the guy I like the most going the next week or two. With Lynch being suspended, he won't win his appeal. What he did to the ref, you can't dispute that. But Richard's he's a good guy out of the backfield to catch the ball. Better between the tackles for a small guy. And the Raiders do like Richard more than Washington, even though they're like the same players. And then I like Marlon Mack the second most, just with Frank Gore being so old. And the Colts continue to lose. Eventually, they're going to have to turn over to Marlon Mack and see what he has.
Yeah, I in terms of the Raiders running backs, I think it's probably going to be pretty close to a 50-50 split. They each had 9 carries after Lynch left. So, I mean, they each got 4 targets in the passing game. So, I mean, they literally split the workload 50-50. I think that's what you'll see this week. Which is a little bit frustrating if you just lost Lynch or you're looking to pick up a running back for the week and hoping to score. But it's not a great situation anyways. They're playing at Buffalo. So for the most part, unless I'm desperate, I'm probably going to go a different direction anyways. In terms of Dion Lewis, I have no interest in a Patriots running back at this point other than James White. And James White has, RB2 PPR appeal. But other than that, I just don't trust the Patriots week in and week out. I mean, he got a large workload this week. There's no reason that why they won't give that workload to Rex Burkhead next week or to Mike Gillisley or whoever Bill Belichick decides he's got a hard on for that week. He's is pretty much who he's going to go with. So I know a lot of people are big Dion Lewis truthers and they're starting to clamor that this is the breakout time. I'm not buying it. And then I mentioned that Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris are stash pickups for week nine and for the weeks after that with Ezekiel Elliott eventually getting suspended. I would check and see if McFadden's available in your league, but chances are, unless you're playing in a really small league, he's probably already been scooped up. But definitely go and check because, I mean, we saw what the Dallas running game can do. And I mean, obviously Zeke is an explosive and special talent that these other two guys aren't, but they'll still be able to find running room behind that line. And I've been on the Marlon Mack train all season long, so if he's available, go out and scoop him up because I do think at some point they're going to just continue to give him more and more work to the point where he becomes kind of the lead dog in that backfield.
So, where did you have McFadden out of those guys?
Oh, I didn't rank him
Oh, you didn't.
necessarily. I would probably put McFadden. I think I'd put McFadden first.
Really? I think I'd have him last just because it's so hard to predict if he's going to play, when he's going to play. This whole Zeke suspension thing has been crazy, and it's hard to even understand what's going on anymore. And McFadden's been inactive like every game, but Jerry Jones and the team loves him. There's reports that he would be the starter if Zeke went out. Like, there's so many crazy things that would have to happen.
I think, I mean, if I needed production right now, I think I'd put Marlon Mack up there first because I think he has the best combination of is going to give me something week eight plus in the future. But if it's from a pure this is I'm looking, 4 or 5 weeks down the road, then I think I would put McFadden first because I think he's going once we do once Ezekiel Elliott is getting suspended. It's just a matter of time, and the longer it gets put off, the more likely it happens during the fantasy playoffs. And if you can get a guy who's a starting running back behind one of the best offensive lines in football for the playoff, for the actual playoffs, not just the playoff stretch, then I think you're getting a huge steal. And so for me, yeah, I'm not necessarily gonna blow like my number one waiver priority on him, but I would put down 10% of my remaining fab.
Yeah, and the thing with McFadden is that people that jumped and picked him up last week because Zeke was supposed to be suspended starting this week, there's a good chance they drop him to pick up, people that, like Marlon Mack this week. So then you can scoop him up as a free agent during the week.
But yeah, then it's for me it's McFadden, then Mac, and then I don't care about the rest, honestly. I really don't. I mean I mean you're really gonna blow fab or a waiver wire priority for one of these two Raiders running backs? I just don't see it as worth it, especially going up against that Buffalo defense on the road in a morning game.
Yeah, the thing with Washington and Richard is that they're almost exactly the same running back. They're like the same size, they run the same, they're the same catching the ball, where it's so hard to know who's gonna get
It's
the
pretty much
touches.
what, yeah, whoever gets the touchdown is going to be the valuable one, but
Yep.
good luck figuring that out.
Yeah, if they get a touchdown.
Exactly. All right, let's move on and talk about wide receivers that are worth picking up. DeMarcus Robinson of Kansas City. Deontay Thompson, who was cut by the Bears and then all of a sudden has become what looked like the number one wide receiver in Buffalo. Let's see. Anybody else? Juju Schuster's an interesting guy. Cameron Cup from St. Louis or St. Louis. I keep saying St. Louis. From Los Angeles. Kenny Stills had a big week with two touchdowns. Who are you looking to go get?
Off that list, I would have Stills probably as the top guy just because of he did end up getting a lot of targets from Matt Moore in that second half of that game, and he's able to, you know, to break that long gain or break away and catch that long touchdown. And those rest of those guys, it's hard to trust them on a weekly basis. Maybe Deontay Thompson, just because the Bills have no one to catch the ball. But other than that, well, Cooper Kupp is probably, if he's available, I guess he would be the number one guy, but he's probably picked up in most leagues.
He's only owned in 40, Kupp's only owned in 40% of ESPN leagues at this point. The problem with Kupp is he's just, he gets a decent amount of targets, but he doesn't seem to bring in a very large percentage of those. And so he becomes kind of I think he's like a PPR wide receiver 3 with some upside, you know, when he scores. But, I mean, he's only scored in three weeks this year. And in the weeks where he hasn't scored, he's been virtually worthless.
And they have a tough schedule coming up. Giants, Houston, and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. But they do have a decent playoff matchups. Philadelphia, which has one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Seattle's a tough matchup, but then at Tennessee, who is probably the worst pass defense in the league. And then if you play in Week 17, they're home versus the Niners. So he could be an interesting guy for later in the season. So if you're like if you got deep benches and you can stash a guy, he's a guy that I'd be interested in stashing. I don't think I'm really that interested in Stills because I think Devontae Parker is going to be back this week. They do have that nice schedule that I talked about, and he did get 9 targets in the game. But I just think when Devontae Parker gets back, he loses a lot of those targets. Dante Thompson, I'm worried that, like, they just seem to continue to throw the ball at Zay Jones for no apparent reason, even though Zay Jones can't catch. And I just have no faith. I think the Bills had to throw because they were in a position where they were down. They needed to make up ground. It had it not been from that Adam Humphries fumble, they would have lost. They would have lost the game. I just have no faith in Buffalo wide receivers. For me, you're owning LeSean McCoy, and then you can, you know, and Charles Clay when he comes back. But there's nothing really else to own in Buffalo. So let's move on over to tight ends. And speaking of Buffalo, we've got Nick O'Leary. Then we have O.J. Howard, who had a big day for Tampa Bay. And then Jonnu Smith is the backup in Tennessee, and it looks like Delanie Walker may miss some time. So which one of these guys are you most interested in?
Out of the three, I'm going to have to put Nick O'Leary at the top just because the workload is consistent. You know, he is going to be he's the starting tight end, at least for a couple more weeks till Clay comes out, until Clay comes back. And then with Jonnu Smith, there's just so much unknown. I mean, they have a bye week this week, and then they play Baltimore the week after that. And then O.J. Howard, of course, is the most talented, but Cameron Brate's been playing good, and Mike Evans gets a lot of targets, where O.J. Howard's kind of been like they run this one play action play where he kind of sneaks off towards the sidelines, and he has 2 touchdowns off that same play. But, I mean, other than 1 or 2 catches, O.J. Howard's useless.
Yeah, I don't really want any of these guys, honestly. I mean, yeah. Unless you're playing in a really deep league, there should be other tight ends maybe available on the waiver wire. Nick O'Leary was a guy I really liked coming out of college. He just never seemed to be able to catch on and really get a huge role. But, I mean, even though he had a decent week this week, he still only had 2 targets. Caught them both, got 58 yards out of it, but he didn't get the end zone look. that Logan Thomas did. I don't, like I said before, I don't believe in this Buffalo passing game. You know, I've never been a Tyrod Taylor fan. If you've listened to this podcast for the last couple of years, you've heard me rail against Tyrod Taylor. I'm a big Virginia Tech fan, so I've watched pretty much every single one of his starts dating back to when he was a freshman in college. I've just never been a fan of him as a quarterback. So I can't really endorse Nick O'Leary. I think he is probably best suited for a cheap GPP DFS play. OJ Howard, like you said, kind of boom or bust type dude. Cameron Brate's the guy who's going to get the majority of the looks at tight end, especially in the red zone. You pretty much need OJ Howard to break a big play in order for him to be useful. So I really, unless I'm desperate, if I am desperate, I'll take Howard over O'Leary just because the physical skill set and the quarterback throwing to him are better. And then he did receive six targets, caught them all. The two touchdowns, obviously fluky, but give me the guy who's got a bigger target share. All right. Anybody else you want to talk about before we end this out?
Nope, we covered everybody I had.
All right. Well, that will do us for this episode. Donnie, why don't you tell people where they can reach you on social media and then plug any of your work going on?
So for Twitter, it's at DONNY Miller FWFB, and I'll be doing this waiver show with Ben or Justin every Sunday or Monday, and just kind of filling in for everybody.
All right. And you can hear me on, or you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can read all the stuff I write for football either on Friends of Fantasy Benefits or on Fantasy Alarm, where I do the, I break down every single game and every single player that is fantasy worthy over at Fantasy Alarm. It's usually about a 10 to 13,000 word article. It takes up a majority of my week, so definitely go and check it out. Give me some clicks over there. You can read my baseball stuff over on Fangraphs. You can hear me on this podcast when I show up. So that is going to wrap us up for this episode. For Donnie and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.